an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
The first thing that I think that needs to be done in New South Wales is that there needs to be an acceptance, both here in this parliament and in the general public, that treaties are coming. Bill Shorten has repeatedly said in public that if the Australian Labor Party are elected at the coming federal election, he will commence treaty processes. In Victoria, we have a treaty process that's been going on for a couple of years now, and we'll hear about that from the Treaty Commissioner, Jill Gallagher. In South Australia, the treaty process commenced and has taken a turn at the moment, but it's not entirely dead. In the Northern Territory, the process has commenced and the government is working on it as we speak. And on the 18th of August this year, the Minister for the Environment in Queensland, the Honourable Leanne Enoch, a Quandamooka woman, announced that the Queensland government was going to go down the path of developing state-based treaties and a truth-telling process. So it's going to happen. And it seems to me that in New South Wales, even though it was the first in time, it's likely to be the last in act in terms of acting upon the remedying of this initial insult. The second thing that I think needs to happen is that it's my view that the government should engage an independent consultant to review the known treaty settlements and make recommendations about the work that needs to be done by government to properly engage with the First Nations of New South Wales, including the issues upon which the New South Wales government needs to engage with the Commonwealth government around process and around outcomes. The reason I say that it needs to be outside of government through an independent consultant is because I, over the years, have come to have little faith in the machinery of government in New South Wales to really embrace Aboriginal rights and the position of Aboriginal people in this state. And we only have to look at some of the judgments in the native title cases in recent years where there has been strident criticism from the federal court bench about the way in which the New South Wales government has conducted the native title negotiations to see that there are problems here. So I think it should go outside. Thirdly, but I think this should happen at the same time as the government starts considering how and what it needs to do, there should be a working group established. In Victoria, they established a working group, and I think Jill may talk about those processes. I'm happy to talk about it more in questions. But if there were a working group established, in my view, that needs to be established from First Nation representatives. And ultimately, there would need to be a representative committee. And so in the Victorian Treaty Advancement legislation, there is provision for an Aboriginal representative body. I think that is necessary. It has to be a First Nations based, in my view. And in order to get the treaty process right, it is necessary for that committee and that body to negotiate with government about what the treaty process looks like. And in my view, what the Treaty Commissioner does, what the legislation looks like, how it's funded, what its overall objectives are. I am a fairly strident supporter of the notion that treaties can only be done with First Nations. It has to be that way if we are to resolve the issue of the challenge to the Australian sovereignty. It can't be any other way. If it's a collective of people gathered on some other basis, it seems to me that it cannot be binding in the way that gives the nation state or the states such as New South Wales any comfort that they will not have to go and renegotiate with somebody else later. On this note, it seems to me that there should also be on these negotiation committees, the representative committees, a role for people who I have referred to, and it's not meant to be dismissive or negative, but as non-aligned, and non-aligned to First Nations in that they are a stolen generation or people who have been left out of the native title process. And there are a lot of people that have been left out of the native title process just by reason of having moved to the city, being economic refugees, and then having difficulty reconnecting with their people. That doesn't mean that they're not Aboriginal, and that doesn't mean that they're not feeling the oppression that we all feel. and there needs to be a way to ensure that their interests are represented and picked up. And I think that can be done through having representatives maybe from organisations such as LinkUp or something like that, but they need to be represented. Fourthly, if it were me, I would appoint a treaty minister, and the minister and the representative committee should be able to negotiate the legislative framework. In my view, treaty negotiations should not really commence until both the relevant state and the Commonwealth are at the table. I understand that's not the way that it's going in Victoria, but it may end up that way. The problem is that if we don't have the Commonwealth at the table, we don't get to deal with the issues of sovereignty, taxation, citizenship, and other matters which are important and necessary parts of any sort of treaty negotiation. Having raised all those precursors, the modern treaty process is fairly well developed in British Columbia. And I would just like to take you briefly to the treaty process there. In British Columbia, they have a treaty commission, and they have six stages of negotiation. And they start out with a statement of intent, filing a statement of intent, right through to the final stage, which is implementation of the treaty. So in British Columbia, they've got over 65 First Nations involved in their treaty processes. Three are in the final implementation stage, and about 41 are in the fourth stage, which is negotiation of an agreement in principle. So in the final stage, we have a number of nations, but one of those is the Tsimshian Nation. So they have a map, and I encourage you all to go there. The map shows the various nations under negotiation. One of those is the Kitsilis Nation, which is now in stage six. They have entered an agreement in principle, and they're into the final stage. The agreement in principle is available on the internet, and it's really worth looking at closely. It's the type of agreement that I would expect us to be aiming for something of that nature in this country. And so in the Kitsilis agreement in principle, the agreement talks about transfer of lands, royalties from resource use, self-governance, including planning controls, lawmaking powers, both in relation to the environment and the enforcement of Kitsilis law, in relation to children, marriage, adoption, child protection. Talks about citizenship, compensation, taxation, and it's quite a comprehensive agreement. It sets the Kitsilis people up as something I suspect which is comparable to a local government or municipal government. And so they have those sorts of powers with a few additional ones in terms of taxation and revenue raising. The Kitsilis Nation has 600 citizens. And one of the complaints or the concerns I hear in Australia is, well, there's too many groups and there's not enough people and there's not enough people to do these things. But in British Columbia, they're doing it already. The groups are small and that hasn't been any impediment at all. So if we aren't in that ballpark in terms of the treaty discussions, my view is that First Nations should walk away, because we get one go at this. In addition to the individual First Nations treaties, I believe that there need to be state-based overarching agreements which pick up service delivery, and there needs to be a national agreement which guarantees things such as welfare, defence, certain taxation issues. And so it's not going to be that we have a single First Nations treaty between my group, my nation, Wangan Jagalingu, and the state and Commonwealth, and that's it. There should be a state-based overarching treaty that we're party to as well, that we benefit from, and all of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island people resident in Queensland benefit from. But then there should be also an Australian one, and we need that three level. And I think that's probably me.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio or download the SBS Radio app.